Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
There. Gary Parrish, welcome back to CBS Sports Ion College Basketball Podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, leaky black. Matt Norlander is here with me. He's in Fayetteville, Arkansas, but tonight's Duke versus Arkansas showdown inside Bud Walton. I'm at home. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent, and don't forget to also subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel while you're here. Let's get into it. The most notable game of the inaugural SEC-ACC Challenge. It was Tuesday night, Miami at Kentucky. It was supposed to be competitive, and it was, but only for a half. Final score, Kentucky 95, Miami 73. John Calipari's Wildcats outscored the Hurricanes 53-36 in the final 20 minutes to improve to 6-1 on the season. Lone loss coming to Kansas. I moved UK up to number 8 in Wednesday morning's updated CBS Sports Top 25-1 Daily College Basketball Rankings. Deadleg, I know you were bouncing around Fayetteville last night, calling hogs and who knows what else.
No.
I know what you were doing last night. What'd you make, though, of Kentucky's destruction of Miami inside Rupp that came with DJ Wagner only playing 10 minutes because of an ankle injury he suffered?
Yeah, I noticed that as well. Right off the top, hello from Arkansas. I don't have my typical board here, so you're going to notice a slight difference in audio quality. Wanted to at least acknowledge that right off the top there. Thanks for everyone.
People don't know this. The state of Arkansas will not allow you to bring podcasting equipment.
I looked it up, and it's forbidden inside.
Can't cross the borders with it.
Can't cross the borders with it. So
it's here, a little bit like gummies. You know, in some states you're cool, but in other states you're not.
Fair enough. There we go. Right off the rails right away. Chat is eager to go, particularly after a Kentucky win. We'll dive right in here. The chat poll question, by the way, is: do you now think Kentucky will win the SEC? We'll get to those results a little bit later on the show. I did watch the majority of this game, was out at dinner for the first half and saw it. And I was glad to see that it was competitive to start. And damn, GP. Number of ways we can go with this. So real quick on the Wagner stuff. Yeah, he has the injury. He got on the bike soon thereafter. Hopefully he's good. The fact that it didn't even matter is obviously notable for Kentucky. We wait to see his status moving forward, and hopefully that's not something that lingers there. Reed Sheppard is again the story here. He helped Kentucky to 1.32 points per possession, which is obviously a scorcher there. Nigel Pack and Matthew Cleveland could not combine, come close to matching Reed Sheppard's output. I mean, Pack only had 2 points. Cleveland had 5. It was kind of a throwback win for Kentucky in the sense that I remember plenty of games like this in the first half of John Calipari's tenure where they would play a notable opponent and find a way to wear that opponent down over the course of a game. And then you would look up and see, well, damn, this thing is completely over and we've still got, six and change left to go in this bad boy. That's what happened last night. Sheppard was the biggest key. He is number one. He is not, as we speak this Wednesday morning, Gary Parrish, he is number one nationally in effective field goal percentage.
I'm number one nationally in effective field goal percentage.
You are nowhere close. Reed Sheppard, however, is an absolutely ludicrous 85.9% in effective field goal percentage. For those who might not be familiar with the stat, although it's not new, that weights your 3-point attempts. into it as opposed to traditional field goal percentage, which can be sometimes slightly misleading. Shepard's number two nationally in three-point percentage, shooting 63.3%. Oh, by the way, he's top five in steal percentage. This is all per KenPom's page, of course, 6.9%. That equates to 3.1 swipes per game. So it is becoming a very real thing. The Reed Shepard mania, we've talked about him obviously on the pod before. He's not the only reason why. I thought Antonio Reeves had himself quite a good game. I thought Trey Mitchell had himself quite a good game. Those two players combined for 32 points. In addition to Justin Edwards also showing some flashes, and oh, hello, though he didn't have a great shooting night, Rob Dillingham still came off the bench to be impactful. So it's a bit of a coda here from a recent episode. Kentucky's not just good. Kentucky is damn fun to watch. And I will give a shout here to an interesting stat that I saw on Twitter late on Tuesday night. Credit to Corey Price, who does statistics work for Kentucky. It's the first time since 89, that Kentucky has gone with 95 plus points in four straight games. Kentucky's not just good. They're fun. They are a wagon. And there are many reasons why, but the biggest one clearly at this point is Reed Shepard, who has turned himself into a real NBA prospect with a quickness. And by that, I mean literally a potential one and done. I don't know if it's going to be that at the end of the season, but that conversation has now been kickstarted in a major way.
You mentioned KenPom. Do you see that Ken Pomeroy character? He's popping off on Twitter last night.
Oh, he
got a little cocky last night, that KenPom.
I saw it. If you're going to mention it, do you have the tweet? I'll bring it up if you don't. We might as well read it verbatim if we're going to do this. Here's what he said.
I think you should misquote him.
I wouldn't dare misquote him. Okay, so real quick on my end, then it's all you, GP. Miami, all of last season was just it was ranked lower at KenPom than its performance, and if you watched him, it would indicate, right? But Pomeroy's algorithm doesn't care about any of that. And regardless, Miami wound up making a run to the Final Four. And then heading into this season, Miami was one of the more notable lower-ranked teams heading in compared to it being, you know, a team that was preseason top 25 coming off the Final Four. Miami at the start of the season was 45th at KenPom. So in the midst of this huge Kentucky run, Kentucky at one point went on a 45-18 run to bury Miami. Pomeroy wanted to try and bury the media. He said, one of the perks of being a proper noun here, media darling, is like Miami, is that if you get run off the floor by a quality team, the media will give all the credit to the opponent instead of reevaluating its opinion of you. I believe Ken would agree with me that a one game sample on a 5-1 start wouldn't necessarily validate Miami standing as a sub 40 team on his ranking, but perhaps he will be proven to be right. I'm still in on Miami being one of the 40 best teams in the country. I don't know about you.
KenPom was doing you down. He was doing you down.
He did. You know what? He brought it. Yeah, that he just brought it in. Yes, absolutely.
Is that how you do it?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There you go.
He was doing you down.
You down.
KenPom just breaking out a U down on the middle of a Tuesday night. What a scene that was.
I know.
Hey, who had Reed Shepard being Zach Edey's biggest challenger to National Player of the Year? Because that's where we're at.
GP, that's not an exaggeration. The power rankings right now really might be Edey 1 and Reed Shepard 2.
We talk about this every offseason. It's my favorite thing about the sport. Is that no other – I don't want to say no other sport, because I remember, like, I didn't know who Jameis Winston was, and then he was the leading candidate to win the Heisman Trophy after one game. So I guess it's not unique to this sport entirely, but it happens in this sport every single year. We can spend 7 months discussing what we think is going to be the biggest stories in the sport once the season gets started, and then it's just something else. It's just always something else. We didn't say a word about Reed Shepard the entire offseason, except for maybe, I don't really know why, other than his father played there, what are you doing? You're like 79th in your class, according to 24/7 Sports. I know that's lower than most, but like, whatever.
No, just stop bringing it up. Kentucky fans are
I should just stop bringing it up.
Stop bringing it up.
A good, good company man and stop mentioning that.
Yep.
Hey, can't we go in? Who
did this?
I mean, no, I'm not getting into that because that's just like, it's just like people bringing up like draft grades that I used to do. By the way, nobody's tweeted me about Jordan Poole in a year.
Well, how about Emmanuel Quickly?
I haven't heard a word about him.
Redemption.
In a long time. people get real quiet after a while.
Yeah, but it's such immediate calling like, anymore, those players, are they? Okay, there we go.
Jordan Poole is now the most embarrassing player in the NBA, and nobody tweets me about him ever. All right? So this is it could be like that. I have no interest in, like, piling, like, whatever. It's just, it's a real thing that that I don't know why we can't go in and change it. Like, can't we go in? Like, don't, can I get?
That's not how it works.
I just converted. I got an email that said I needed to convert to something to be able to do some other stuff. Did you convert yet?
I have converted, yes.
Okay, I converted too. I feel like that gives me the ability to go into 24/7 sports, and I'm going to jump Reed Shepherd into the top 15.
Let's not do that.
I think I'm going to. I'm going to do that later today. It'll just save a lot of us a lot of. It'd be helpful.
Okay.
It'd be helpful. He's terrific. He's like,
he knows ball. Yeah.
And our friend Sam Vecenie, who will join us in just a bit.
Yes.
Did tweet. And Sam is, with all due respect, I don't want to pit my friends against each other. I'll just say Sam is one of the best NBA draft analysts that exist. He is, and I've told him this, he's the type of person where if my opinion is dramatically different than his, I will reevaluate my opinion on a prospect because I respect him.
Yeah,
I respect him that much. Yeah. And he tweeted last night that Reed Shepherd's a real one and done candidate. Like, he just is. It doesn't matter what you thought he was coming into college. He has clearly established himself as that at this point. He was 8 of 13 from the field last night, 5 of 9 from 3, 21. And here's the other thing. It ain't just shooting. Mm-mm. Like, he's an unbelievable shooter, but he's not just a shooter. 21 points, great. That's the headline. 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. That's great. He's now averaging 12.3 points, 3.9 rebounds, 3.6 steals. In 24.7 minutes per game, he's shooting a team-high 65.2% from the field, a team-high 63.3% from three. A 6'3 guard shooting 65% from the field is outrageous. He is only 6th in minutes played at Kentucky. That's got to change. I had somebody tweet me last night, is Reed Shepherd going to be Tyler Ulis? In the sense that, if you remember that 2015, that Kentucky team. Listen, they lost one game ever, so it's not fair to be like.
I agree.
They lost one game, all right? So when people say, if John Calipari would have just played the right people, they lost one game. Ever. All right. But he did. I'll let you evaluate what I'm about to say. Willie Cauley-Stein was the leading, led the team in minutes per game at 25.9. Then it was Aaron Harrison, 25.8, Andrew Harrison, 25.5. And after that, you had Tyler Ulis, 23.8, Devin Booker, 21.5, Karl Anthony Towns, 21.1. There was a team at Kentucky that had Willie Cauley-Stein, Aaron Harrison, and Andrew Harrison playing more minutes than Devin Booker and Karl Anthony Towns, not to mention Tyler Ulis, who was the best point guard on that team. Is this going to be that? That was the suggestion made to me. I don't think so. I think it – and you know what? Nobody wants this, but honestly, the DJ Wagner ankle thing might be helpful here in the sense that it forces you to have to play Reed Shepherd more. When he's on the court, Kentucky is terrific. He's 6th on the team in minutes played right now. I think you could make an argument that he needs to be the leading minutes per game guy on that roster and that he might be soon.
He might be. I'm open to the possibility of that being the case. I'm also open to the possibility at this stage of the season, which isn't to say Shepherd would be the same a month from now, let alone, you know, end of February, that he might be excelling specifically because of the role that he has in the minutes he's playing. I think both could be possible. But we might be about to find out if in a starting role playing north of provided he's out there. I mean, playing north of 25 minutes per game, if he can go. Aaron Bradshaw, by the way, five-star big man, is set to make his debut for Kentucky. And what a big addition that's going to be to Kentucky's front court, you would think. That's set to happen in the next week. And so there's another dynamic in that, you know, maybe that impacts rotations one way or the other. But Kentucky is 6-1, looking every bit the top 10 team that it has been so far this season. And it's about to get another really, really good player on the floor. So keep that in mind as well. Shepherd has been a star in his role. He's not, again, I will reinforce this, particularly after Tuesday night, he was the man, but they are getting a lot in a lot of ways. And some of this is also Shepherd. It also helps, by the way, Kentucky right now, GP, is number one in the country in offensive turnover percentage, meaning the Wildcats are giving the ball away less often than any other team in the sport. It's last year it ranked 127. Right now it's number one. It's only finished in the top 20 twice ever under Calipari. So not even asking this team to maintain that number one standing, but if it can be top 10 in offensive turnover percentage this season, you are looking at a team that it could be very well in the driver's seat to win the SEC because it's not going to have so many unnecessary mistakes. I thought Tuesday night was a major development for Kentucky. You didn't just beat Miami. You beat them down. Even when Miami led in the first half, great adjustments. Good job by Calipari. We're going to give him a lot of credit because he deserves it for what he's done so far. We'll see how he tinkers the minutes and the rotations and how much that's even needed. But the team is rolling right now. And yeah, Pomeroy, I'm going to give most of the credit here to Kentucky for what it did. I'm going to reserve, chastising or indicting Miami after walking in and playing a really good team in you know, a pretty tough environment.
He couldn't wait to hit update on that website last night, could he?
I don't think he actually has to push a button anymore. He used to have.
No, he does. He does.
I think it auto.
It's actually a lever. You have to pull a lever.
We call it auto-populating, and I believe it does that. I got one more thing, by the way. How about this? How about Kentucky being so good? And I don't think this is the first time this has happened, honestly, but being so good to prompt Rick Pitino to tweet. He said, "I'm watching Reed Shepherd play and thinking about his mom and dad as if it were yesterday." Pitino, of course, coached Reed Shepherd's father, Jeff. Such a great experience for both of them. Absolutely wonderful people. Make it happen, Reed. One, I love Pitino tweeting about Kentucky. Two, this, of course, here's Calipari in the middle of, you know, perhaps a mini Kentucky renaissance. This team is fun to watch for the first time in a long time. And if you check the replies, we've got, "It's finally time for you to come back, coach. We miss you greatly." we've got one that says, "Love you, Ricky."
Oh, they didn't mean come back and coach. They meant just come back and be a honor.
I don't know about that. We do have one in the replies. "Love you, Ricky P. Thank you for 96. And Katina Powell." That seems a little bit spicy there.
Oh, come on.
Another one. "Have that Ratchet L tattoo removed and come back and say hello sometime." So the distance making the heart grow fonder for the Kentucky fans as Cal's getting it done here. Pitino tweeting about it. I couldn't help but chuckle seeing that pop up on the timeline and then scrolling through. And that's obviously not going to happen, but it's actually – I guess Louisville being atrocious and Pitino having his late career renaissance of his own has actually, like, for some Kentucky fans, I guess they were fine with Pitino always, but there was definitely, you know, there was a schism. And now that being something that is getting patched up all the more, I don't know. I think it's a cool thing, and I couldn't help but notice him tweeting about that. And that's a really awesome thing. By the way, if you're unfamiliar, Jeff Shepherd was a baller. And another reason why I adored those Kentucky teams in the 90s.
Most outstanding player of a Final Four.
Yeah, he just really, really good player. And the fact that his son from London, Kentucky, has stepped in right away and been as good as he's been. Last thing, and then we can go wherever you want, GP. But the reason why we didn't talk about Reed so much is, hello, number one recruiting class, and you had so many other dudes coming in, and like the Edwards hype, the Wagner hype, Bradshaw being this crucial big that they were going to bring in. Could he be the next really, really good Kentucky big? It was understandable for Reed Shepherd to just be, and he's in the class. He's not just in the class, man. He's been the most valuable player for that team through the first 3.5 weeks of the season.
Just one last thing, put a button on it. You pointed it out. They're just not turning the ball over. Listen, you don't have to be a basketball analyst to look at Kentucky's roster and go, that's one of the most talented, if not the most talented roster in the country. I mean, multiple projected lottery picks, first round picks, five-star guys, all that stuff. It's there. The question is, like, can you be good at this level of basketball relying on this many, teenagers, relying on this many first-year players who just earlier this calendar year graduated from high school? And the idea that they're not looking like a young team. They don't look like a talented but young team. They look like a super talented, super athletic, super fast, really good basketball team. The poll question that Nada put up was, do you think Kentucky will now win the SEC? And I guess to that I would say, I don't know. We'll see. But for what it's worth, Kentucky is the highest ranked SEC team that I have in Wednesday morning's top 25 and one, just ahead of Tennessee. Elsewhere on Tuesday night, because that wasn't the only game that was played, Georgia Tech handed Mississippi State its first loss, 67-59, and Clemson won at Alabama, 85-77. Hot seat Brad, 6-0 in year 14 at Clemson, up to number 35 at KenPom. You down? Okay. Is that how you do it?
I think it's – no, it's that's horns down, isn't it? This is you down. This is you. You got it. By the way, if you're listening, you got to watch on YouTube. But that's yeah.
Hey, YouTube.
There you go. Hey. Yeah. You got to get all 10 fingers involved.
Man. What if you don't have 10 fingers?
What was that? What is this?
I don't know what I'm doing.
What is this?
Man, I would be terrible at gang signs. Okay. I just can't even do them.
Word from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Not an amazing timing. And Parrish looks, I don't even know what this is. What is that?
I'm trying to do you down. No, I'm trying to get back on the KenPom's good side.
You look like you just walked in to get a manicure. That's not you down.
I think that might be you down. I'm trying to get back on KenPom's good side. Hey, Deadleg, you're in Fayetteville for Duke, Arkansas.
I am, but I think we should get to last night's results first. Okay, I'm going to tour through this because Paris is off the rails right now. Okay, let's just spend a quick second.
The chat says I have arthritis. I might have arthritis.
Bro, incredible. Oh, my goodness. Apologies if I've woken up anyone next to me in this hotel, by the way. Okay, here we go. Level set. Let's just talk. All right. Clemson, 85-77 wins at Bama. First 6-0 start of Brad Brunell's coaching career. He's in his 22nd season.
Hey, it's about time.
It's about damn time. It is. I am taking this dude off of the hot seat, perhaps permanently. Clemson is a real deal team. It's going to be in the 2024 NCAA tournament. That will be Brad Brunell's just fourth appearance in – I'm just going to give him 20 seasons at Clemson at this point. All of them have been on the hot seat. It's over. He is off. And a credit to former Clemson football SID. He sent this note out. I caught it on Tuesday night. This is wild. So they beat Alabama, ranked 23rd on the road. It's just the second road win over a ranked non-conference opponent in program history. I'm going to say that again. Clemson, until Tuesday night, had only won once on the road against a non-con ranked opponent. And that came in 2016. against Frank Martin, coach South Carolina. They were able to do it against Alabama. If Kentucky over Miami for Tuesday night, for me, was much more about Kentucky. Clemson over Bama on Tuesday night was way more about Clemson. PJ Hall, 21, Joe Girard, 16, Chase Hunter, 15. Ian Shefflin had 14 rebounds. Clemson's got a real good team. Bama's got defensive issues. There's no doubt about it. They've got their own things to work through. But Clemson showing up, shooting well. I mean, they shot 52% from three-point range, GP. They hit 11 of 21 threes. And that team looks the part and could be a top three team in the ACC. We'll see if they can keep it up. But before we kind of do a quick tour through the rest of them, your thoughts on what you saw there, and take it either way, Clemson or Bama side. Bama's now lost 2 of 3, and it's definitely got glaring issues. And from a personnel standpoint right now, it just doesn't seem like this team has the roster that stacks up with most recent Bama teams.
Yeah, I either had Alabama in the preseason top 25 and one, or right on the edge of the top 25 and one. And that was mostly because, you know, you give Nate Oates the benefit of the doubt. But that roster was always, they lost a lot. And not just the number two pick in the draft, but a lot. And right now it looks like the roster might not be good enough to keep Alabama at the level at which Alabama has been in recent years under Nate. But it's early. We'll see. But certainly, as excited as you can be about what Clemson might be, you have to acknowledge some of this might be, we might look up in a month and go, hey, Alabama's, that win wasn't as impressive as it seemed on that night, but we'll see. 6-0 is 6-0. I'm with you. If you're a Clemson fan, be encouraged. If you're Brad Brunell, be ecstatic. I will remind you, this is Clemson. They started 17-0 in 2007 and missed the NCAA tournament. Might want to slow it down a little bit.
I hear you, but Brownell is off the hot seat, and they're off to their best start as a program since 08-09. I'll give you a couple more quick results. You tell me which one means the most to you. Kansas, perhaps looking ahead to the big game against UConn later this week, and that's a home one for KU. It got a genuine push from Eastern Illinois, but scooted away with a 71-63 win. Ole Miss beat NC State 72-52, is 6-0. Chris Beard announced afterward that Musa Cisse has been deemed eligible and will make his debut this weekend versus Memphis. There was a video that was going around on television of LSU arriving in Syracuse to a vintage Central New York snowstorm, and LSU looked like it didn't want to be there from the second it walked off the bus. Q's snowblowed him, GP, 80-57. Judah Mintz, one of the best point guards in the country. He's really a combo guard. He had 33 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. A good win for Syracuse. Missouri, 170-164 at Pitt. We mentioned that on the Sunday night show. I think that's a near crucial victory for Mizzou's resume. Georgia Tech, 171-59 at home, overranked Mississippi State, giving the Bulldogs their first loss. And then on Monday, I'll bring up, because I think it's big, Utah won at St. Mary's. Gales are now 3-4. I think the Gales are in real danger of not having an at-large resume. They will need to beat Gonzaga at least once. And when you look at the losses, St. Mary's might only be able to afford to lose only 2 more times the rest of the season and still viably have an at-large case. What was the biggest stuff from you over the past 24 to 48 hours?
Well, the in addition to Miami, Kentucky, and Alabama, Clemson, you know, one of the games I had on a screen was Ole Miss, NC State, and they didn't just beat them by 20. They beat them like they were up double digits like that. I mean, they handled them from start to finish, and it's just a reminder that, look, what happened at Texas happened at Texas. Think of Chris Beard, whatever you want, but he is one of the best basketball coaches in the country. He is somebody who developed a reputation at Texas Tech, even before he got to Texas, as when I would talk to NBA people, they would say, hey, yeah, we go to all these practices. We've been to this practice, that practice, that practice. We've seen them all. The guy running the best practices in the sport. I was told this by multiple NBA people. The guy running the best practices in the sport, the most impressive guy we see on a basketball court, teaching, developing, instructing, was Chris Beard. And we talked about Ole Miss in the offseason. I said, I'm not going to predict Ole Miss to get to the NCAA tournament in year one under Chris Beard, but it's definitely something I could envision happening, especially if they get Musa Cisse eligible. And so now here we are. Yeah, they didn't lose a game without him. Now they get him, and he's back just in time for, you know, this will be a big game, particularly in my part of the country. You know, Memphis is only about an hour away from Oxford, Mississippi, And now you got the Tigers going down to Ole Miss. You know, like, I think this is true. More Ole Miss alums live in Memphis and the surrounding area, perhaps more than any other place in the country other than Jackson, Mississippi. Like I'm a Memphis grad. My neighbors are Ole Miss grads. I mean, my wife's an Ole Miss grad. So there's a lot of that. And this will be a big game. Memphis, you know, on the vert, like Memphis is first and others receiving votes in the AP poll. So a Memphis team that looks like it's headed to the NCAA tournament playing in Oxford against an Ole Miss team that's undefeated, coming off a 20-point win over NC State, and with Musa Cisse making his Ole Miss debut against the school at which he started his college career. That's good stuff. That'll be a fun way to spend a Saturday.
I agree. You want to get to a tour of Wednesday and Thursday night here?
Well, I wanted to ask you first. Okay. Let's focus specifically on the big game tonight, which is it's Duke at Arkansas. That's a hotel room in Arkansas, no question about it.
It is. I made the bed and everything.
How about that? You made that bed yourself?
I did.
That's pretty good.
You can barely, I'm blocking it, but when I move, you can see it. There you go.
Yeah, no, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It looks better than my bed. It looks better than my bed right now.
No doubt about that.
Hey, how's Arkansas? It's your first time there.
It's good. Flying yesterday, sat next to a coffer, whole plane ride.
You got COVID.
Tough scene right there. Whole time, man. I'm looking around the rest of the plane. It was I connected in Chicago, so it was the Chicago to Arkansas one. I'm looking around, I'm like, no one else is coughing on this damn thing. Except the woman next to me. You live with it.
Well, it's over for you.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be all right. Okay, so Arkansas is good. I went to Arkansas practice yesterday. Sat down with Musk for a bit. They've got a great mini tent city set up. Got to see Musk. He does this regularly. He just went out to say hello. Guy is a rock star. I mean, he walks. So practice ends. We're walking. So Bud Walton Arena is directly across from the Arkansas basketball facilities. And then right next to the facilities is the little lawn area where they had almost 200 tents yesterday at like 4 o'clock. And they are probably at 250 plus. They were probably at 250 plus overnight. And so the second he walks out, like, you know, people just, you know, can I get a selfie? Selfie here, selfie there. I was actually jotting down a few notes because there was this one woman got on the phone and was like, girl, you better come down here right now. Musk is here if you want a picture. And her friend did not make it in time because Musk was there for about 5 minutes. And then we dipped into the basketball building. But one after another, he debated at the far end. There's a basketball hoop set up at the far end of the lawn. And he debated going, and they were playing knockout. But then one of the staff members was like, because he almost did it. He's like, man, if you go down there, you will be mobbed. So he did. So it was really cool to see. And he's all about it. They are quite hyped. I posted a few photos. They've got these rally towels that say Beat Duke that are ready to go. Nolan Richardson, I'm told, will be in the building tonight, which is awesome. It's the first time since 2019, he'll be in the building for a regular season game. And I was told, if no other reason, he's just, you know, he's an older man. He's still married, and COVID hit. So, but he's going to be in there tonight. And of course, Nolan Richardson.
Give Nolan Richardson COVID, I'll never forgive you.
Okay. First of all, the odds are infinitesimal that that's going to happen there. So he'll be there. The atmosphere is hyped. It's great to finally be here. Basketball Palace of Mid-America, the whole deal. And I land and I'm like, I wasn't on social that much. I go, I take pictures, and then I put it out that I was in the arena. And then Pete Thamel, who we know, direct messages me, and Nicole Auerbach tweets at me, and I get a few other messages saying, hey, go find Bobby Petrino. I didn't know what was happening with Bobby. I didn't know any of this. So
I hope he's there tonight.
That is what I'm getting at. And I mentioned today, the court report will make its long-awaited season debut. And I have a line in there about that. I think it's official as of this morning. It's happening.
He's the offensive coordinator at Arkansas.
So the building is going to be on fire. They need to have Bobby Petrino in the building for this game tonight, because if you want to really get those fans going, just a ridiculous
ride in on a motorcycle.
We are of one brain right now. Have this dude come in either before the game at halftime on a motorcycle, just going, not giving whatever. That's not you down. You're trying. Oh man. God bless you. It would be an incredible scene. Bobby Petrino returning to Arkansas. Just, I love the fact that I'm here as this story has broken and become official. So it's been a good start so far. I'm going to dip over to shoot arounds here in a little bit, and I can't wait to see what we got here. By the way, Nolan Richardson's planned to be there tonight. This is the 30th season anniversary, of course, of Arkansas over Duke in the 94 national championship. And just the fifth time. Oh, by the way, it's kind of surprising, because when you hear Duke, Arkansas, it might ignite some nostalgia, because, you know, I grew up on college hoops in the 90s. These teams only played four times before, and every other time has been on a big stage. Three times in the tournament, most recently 2022. This Arkansas was the victim of Coach K's last win, and then he lost to Carolina, of course, but that was the Elite Eight. The two other times were the 90 Final Four, the 94 title game, and then they played in 90 to start the 90-91 season. That was at the Garden. They were both like top 10 teams in the preseason NIT. So every other time that Arkansas Duke have played, there have been huge stakes around it. But this is the first time these two will play in an on-campus environment. I'm super psyched to be here.
So Duke Arkansas is the headlining game on Wednesday night, but there's some other interesting stuff tonight, tomorrow night. We'll get to that next. But first, one more word from our partners.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So tonight we get number 7, Duke at Arkansas. Deadleg will be there. He'll have you a 34-minute read by 2 a.m.
Will
no questions asked.
I promise you.
Elsewhere, we got number 10, Tennessee at number 17, North Carolina. Number 14, Texas A&M at Virginia. And Colorado at number 20, Colorado State, the undefeated Rams. We've obviously already discussed Duke, Arkansas. What else interests you going on tonight?
Tennessee, North Carolina, for sure. That's a scheduled 7:15 Eastern start. If you're trying to plan your night here, I would not plan on Duke, Arkansas tipping before 9:20 Eastern, by the way. Tennessee, Carolina, a couple of teams that rank top 15 at KenPom. Vols going on the road, you know, the ACC, SEC challenge. We got, Miami, Kentucky wasn't a great one by the end of it, but that was an intriguing matchup. And then we've got two other really, really kind of mainstream ones tonight here. Tennessee, of course, coming off two straight losses and losing to Purdue and Kansas out there in Hawaii. We will see if it can dodge the Aloha hangover. Kansas almost couldn't on Tuesday night, by the way. But other teams have played since then, and they've looked well. But they got to go into North Carolina. UNC is 5-1. It's only loss happening, of course, in the Bahamas in overtime. We'll see. Excited to try and get a little bit of eyes on this one. This is obviously going to bleed right into Duke, Arkansas. But I'll have the laptop there, and I'll try and squeeze in some viewing on that. So that's an intriguing one and a very valuable game. But Colorado State, GP, I mean – you mentioned that one. A&M and Virginia is also very, very good.
A&M coming off a great win on Sunday, missing two starters.
I know. So it's a tough spot for them. That's what I'm saying. Right. Now, Virginia also just it got recently by Wisconsin. So we'll see, but not at full health. If you haven't seen a ton of Virginia yet, I got faith they're going to get there and be a top 20 level team. Ryan Dunn is the real deal. Keep an eye on them. But Colorado going to play at Colorado State. Tad Boyle, for the majority of his career at Colorado, has not shied away from playing road games in state against all the Division I teams in Colorado, and I credit him for that. Here, the Buffs are – I think the Buffs will occupy a spot in the top 25 multiple weeks this season. They're not there right now, but they have the talent. Meantime, Colorado State has one of the best point guards in the country in Isaiah Stevens. That's a fantastic matchup, and it deserves a lot of attention. And Colorado State has been, you know, on the list of surprises this season. They were expected to be improved from last season, but to get into the polls like this and having a tremendous undefeated start so far under Nico Medved, that is a terrific, terrific matchup. So Wednesday's kind of loaded between Duke, Arkansas, Tennessee, Carolina, A&M, Virginia, Colorado, Colorado State. That's a pretty healthy late November Wednesday slate that we've got there. And to me, Duke, Arkansas, and Tennessee, Carolina are obviously the number ones and number two, but I would not put Buffs at Rams that far behind. That game's got great potential.
Colorado, Colorado State would be ranked versus ranked, but Colorado lost a neutral court overtime game to Florida State. Other than, if not for that, we'd be undefeated against undefeated, ranked against ranked. That's a great matchup between two in-state rivals. And listen, San Diego State, I think, deserves the benefit of the doubt for the time being. But Colorado State looks like they can challenge the Aztecs in the Mountain West Conference. Nevada also off to a nice start, 4-0, up to 43rd at KenPom. New Mexico, 5-1 in the top 50 at KenPom. So right now, the Mountain West Conference has four top 50 KenPom teams. One of them is Colorado State. In a game against Colorado tonight. Thursday night, Liberty at number 13, FAU, Texas Tech at Butler, Creighton at Oklahoma State. You care about any of that?
Yeah, I think it's not quite as good as what we've got on Wednesday, but I'd say Liberty at FAU is the most intriguing one. Liberty is top 40 at KenPom right now, GP, 6-0. Richie McKay has done a very, very good job. They don't have a top 100 win yet, but have beaten Furman, Wichita State, Vermont, teams that are respected for.
Yeah, they have four top 150 wins, zero top 100, but four top 150.
Got to play FAU and FAU's gym, so we'll see. But that's a pretty good one there. And if Liberty could pull that off, new to CUSA would be huge to that cause. FAU, of course, 5-1, and we talked about them plenty recently. They've got Liberty and Charleston coming up, because this is shouts to our friends. This is the field, the Field of 68. Did they call it the Classic? I think it's something like that. But they helped organize this, and that's a big one, and that's an intriguing one. Heck, Butler, that we'll see if Thad Matta can really. They're 5-2. Beat Penn State, Boise State down in Florida. Tech has been a little bit bumpy. Not a ton of appeal there. Thursday's just not as good. Creighton coming off, you know, a loss against Colorado State that the result isn't stunning, but it was 69-48. So we'll see. And oh, by the way, they announced on Tuesday, Doug McDermott will get his jersey retired on the 10-year anniversary of his final college season. He's a top 10 all-time scorer in college basketball history. He's top five. I'd have to look it up. He might be top five. That's going to happen against Villanova in less than a month on December 20th. But Creighton will play at Oklahoma State. Mike Boynton's team desperately with the opportunity to play this game at home. It really, 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 really needs that kind of win. So Thursday not as good as Wednesday, but I'm sure there'll be something that'll happen that we'll get to on Friday morning show.
Oklahoma State is just 3-3 with losses to Abilene Christian, St. Bonaventure, and Notre Dame. So that's a rough start, but still, like, a road game against a Big 12 opponent, that can be problematic for anybody, or at least most people. And so that's an interesting game on paper, Creighton having to go there. The Liberty FAU game, you mentioned top 40 at KenPom. Liberty is 39th. They've got those four top 150 wins. Clear favorite in CUSA at this point. How about this? You don't get this every day.
Yep.
It's a non-league game.
Yeah.
Between the reigning CUSA champ.
That's true.
And probably the future CUSA champ.
That's
but it's a non-league game.
And it is a non-league game. I hadn't thought about it like that, but it is. And for FAU, the way it is scheduled, I'm not calling this an easy game because it's not, but with the way that it put with Dusty May and his staff, the way they were able to put together that schedule, this kind of game is one of the ones that's kind of like, you know, filler-esque, and it's not filler whatsoever. That's going to be a real, real legitimate challenge. By the way, poll results, 72% of the people in the chat believe that Kentucky is now, or they say that Kentucky is now their expected favorite to win the SEC. If we had asked this question 3 weeks ago, I don't think that number would have topped 25%, which goes to show you how impressive UK has been so far. So 72% so far now would put Kentucky in the driver's seat in the SEC. We'll see if they can keep that up. I got one question for you. So I had a couple people reach out and wanted to know why you're not here with me. I mean, you could have made the drive. We could have tag team and covered this game.
You know how far I'm a state over. Arkansas is from Memphis.
How about this? Arkansas is sneaky big, because I was talking to Anthony Ruto, one of the Arkansas assistants, and we just got to talking about, I don't know, recruiting this and that and here and there. And then Arkansas State came up, and I was like, yeah, where is Arkansas State, by the way? And then he's like, it's about like 4 hours and like 30 minutes away. I'm like, it's 4 hours and 30 minutes away, and it's in the state of Arkansas, sneaky big state. And he's at Jonesboro. And then he said Jonesboro, I think it's like 45 minutes from Memphis.
Yeah.
So if I was at Arkansas State, you could scoot up. But yeah, no, I am tucked in the northwest corner here.
No, it's wild. Okay, so I'm at my home. I am in the state of Mississippi.
I can see that.
I can be in Tennessee in 10 minutes.
You're going to run that stop sign in your neighborhood.
Oh, buddy.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
I could be in Tennessee in 10 minutes. I could be in Arkansas in 30. But the University of Tennessee is 6 hours from me.
Yeah.
And the University of Arkansas is 5 hours from me.
Yeah, that's a real drive. When was the last time you were at Bud Walton? Do you remember how long it's been?
It's been a while. I've been there multiple times. I was there as a beat writer. What? Hey, only time I've ever thrown up in the middle of a game was at Bud Walton Arena. Food poisoning. Sincerely, okay. I had to leave courtside, go throw up. Wash my mouth out, come back, file a game story.
Were you courtside though?
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. They got us about midway up the standings there.
Yeah, but that would have been like, that would have been like 20 years ago.
Yeah. No, yeah. I got you.
And then I've gone back since I've been at CBS multiple times. It feels like I remember being there when Pat Beverly was there at some point or some, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. But I've been there multiple times. It's fabulous. I like when Arkansas was in those down years, I could, because I grew up in this, like Memphis, Arkansas was a big rivalry when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Nolan Richardson like would come into Memphis and recruit, you know, Todd Day. You know, they got big time Memphis high school players, took them to Fayetteville and then won a national championship with them. And like made Arkansas was like UNLV, Arkansas, Duke.
Yes.
Like those were the biggest programs in America. And when they were in those down years until really, for the most part, until Musk took over, I always said like that's the place that if they ever get the right hire, it'll be amazing. And obviously under Musk, it's been amazing. And you'll have a blast tonight. That building will be, I don't know if it'll be as good as you've ever seen, but it'll be on the list of as good as you've ever seen.
I'd say it's going to be as good as I should expect it for an Arkansas team that is at one point was ranked 14th, but is no longer ranked and now is facing, and I have this in the court report as well, it is facing probably as urgent of a situation as it could have imagined, at 4-3, losers of 3 of 4. The most recent home game was a loss against UNC Greensboro. And so the building will be absolutely up for it. I know that a sold out crowd. I like how it's like semi built into the ground. So like you can tell, like some of it's like you walk in and some of it has kind of been built into the lower because the it's a huge arena. I mean,
a lot of arenas are like that, where like Madison Square Garden is like that, FedEx
right,
like that. But it's built underground.
But one of this size on a college campus isn't as common, but it seats 19,200. I mean, it's one of the five or six biggest on-campus arenas that we have in the sport. But when I walked in yesterday, and we'll see how it feels once it fills up, It looks big, it feels big, but it doesn't feel expansive. It actually, for 19,000 plus, it actually feels a bit cozy. And some of that's due to, in the Arkansas fans, the people that have been in the building know what I'm talking about here, when it was built, how it was built. And this isn't great, I guess, for 2023 when you've got what are called like bunker level suites. And that's a new kind of thing. The suites are on the main concourse. They're a bit more removed, but you have this great lower bowl that I'm going to say that's a minimum 35 rows on lower level. And so it's they've got a really, really good thing there. And it's right in the middle of campus. Arkansas as a university, it's athletic. They've got like this, it feels like a 2.5 mile stretch of just one facility after another, after another, after another. They have an elite baseball team, an elite track and field team. The Arkansas football facility is obviously incredible. So took a quick tour around campus yesterday. We'll do again a little more today to kind of peek around. And I'm very excited. What I did not get a chance to do yesterday that I'm going to try and do today, I haven't launched it from the snout yet. I got to launch it from this. I got to make one shot from the snout. I got to make that happen for the podcast.
Shouts to Alex Dillard.
Shouts to Alex Dillard. And you would appreciate this. If you go to my Twitter feed, you'll see I took a picture. It's Nolan Richardson Court. They've got the modern hog at the middle of the court, that logo. But you and I both have a fond affection.
Slobber hog.
For the slobber hog. And next to Nolan Richardson's signature, where they have it emblazoned, they've got the old Arkansas hog, which is slobbering like crazy. They've got that snout too. It's a smaller one, but I was like, this is a really, really awesome touch. And yeah, man, we can wrap the show. I can't wait for this game to start.
I have a question for you. I thought about this at some point. Did you consider, and if not, why not, going straight from Fayetteville to Lawrence, Kansas for UConn, Kansas on Friday? It's 4 hours. You could have done this.
I guess I could have. I didn't consider it.
It's right there.
I know. I'm going to see UConn plenty. That's true. I've been to Fog Allen. I should have. I can guarantee you there will not be a late adjustment because my wife will be like, excuse me?
Yeah.
You're going to see UConn? We live in Connecticut, and I'm going to see UConn again. See him. Check the schedule here. GP in next week, right? Yeah, next week. Jimmy V. So I'm seeing UConn on Tuesday against Carolina as is. So that was also part of it. But it's UConn at Kansas. That's a top five matchup. You know, and that's road environment. UConn, oh, by the way, they have officially now have the NCAA record. They beat New Hampshire Monday night, 24 straight double-digit wins. We'll obviously preview that game on Friday. That's going to have to be another Final Four and One Friday matchup. Top five matchup. We have no choice. So,
I'm over that. There was a time in my life where I would not pick a Friday game, but I'm past that.
All right.
I've tried to adjust and be a little more flexible as I've advanced in age. Try to be a little more flexible. I'm ready to pick Friday games. I'll pick some right now if you want to.
Well, we don't have to. Those fingers don't look that flexible, by the way.
Maybe I do have arthritis.
I want to get that checked out. You're right, pinky. You're right, pinky, man. It looks like.
Now I'm a Trekkie.
It looks like you played receiver in the NFL for 7 years. You got a little bend action there.
You can't play receiver in the NFL with these little hands. I got little Trump hands.
That's okay.
I got little Trump hands.
Let's go.
Look at me.
I think I'm done with your hands, by the way.
All right. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Terry MF and Teagle, legend. Shouts to Huck. Shouts to Larnell. Shouts to Alex Dillard. Thank you guys once again for watching, listening to the Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're not,
keep going.
Leave my fingers alone. you would think if I had these embarrassing fingers, I would just like do the podcast like this. I would just hide them behind me. What kind of idiot takes his little embarrassing wrinkled fingers and shoves them in people's faces?
Someone says it looks like a crinkled French fry. Oh my gosh. What a comment.
I'm going to go dip my fingers in ketchup.
Okay.
There's more of us than there are of them. That's got to be reflected in the comments, Apple and Spotify. So go subscribe if you're not subscribed. We'll talk to you again on Friday morning. Till then, take care.
The time has come for drag queens to save the world.
RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars is back on Paramount Plus, and for the first time ever,
I want you to use your talent for good,
for a change.
8 iconic queens are competing for the charity of their choice.
This is how you do drag.
Who will slay it forward, win cash for their favorite cause, and a coveted spot in the Drag Race Hall of Fame? RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars. New season now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.